In the awesome name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, amen. Jesus, the one who sends the Holy Spirit to give us strength in times of weakness, God's word speaks that to us this evening. I believe it was Oliver Wendell Holmes who gave us this limerick. There's no limericks in the Bible. Limericks are fairly new, but this little limerick. God's plan had a hopeful beginning. Man spoiled his chances by sinning. We trust that the story will end in God's glory, but at present, the other side's winning. True, isn't it? Is it true in your life? It's certainly true in my life. It seems like the other side's winning. It seems like that there's some need for some hope and some help and some need for those that can help out. Wendell, I'm sure, is speaking about creation as God created the world. We know that, and man's fall into sin. And we know that God gave that promise at the very beginning. But the other side, is all around us. The other side that is constantly coming at us to rob us of that great joy and that great blessing that he gives to us. The other side of the devil. Peter tells us, like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, resist him, standing firm in the faith, but like a roaring lion wanting to devour us. And he does devour families and individuals and others, robbing them of joy. Last weekend, Pastor Snow, as he shared with us that other parable of the sower, the devil is that bird, the bird that comes and snatches the seed from the pathway and so on. The devil, the other side that's there. Of course, another one that we live in here, and another one of the other side is this whole world in which we live. This whole world where the message of the cross is foolishness to them, to those who are perishing. Those without the Spirit, the Scriptures say, do not accept the things that come from God for their foolishness to them, and they cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. We live in a world that they don't understand when we're talking about Jesus and the cross. They don't understand the things that we're trying to help and to talk with them about, and it can get pretty frustrating, and it can get pretty disappointing. And then, of course, the devil, the world, and then it's our own sinful flesh. That sinful flesh and that struggle that we constantly have with our sinful flesh. The Apostle Paul will write, I don't understand what I do. What I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I want to do what's good, but I cannot carry it out. And then he says, what a wretched man that I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? That's the thing, that it seems like the other side is winning. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Well, Paul writes to us about that great blessing of our God who comes to rescue us, who rescues us from this body of death. Lord, I don't know how to pray as I should. And God comes and says, want some help? Of course we do. Romans 8:26. That's our text for tonight. That's God's good news for us tonight. When the other side seems to be winning, here's what God's word reminds us. In the same way, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. God promises us that when it seems like the other side is winning, when there seems to be no hope, when there's the weaknesses in our lives, and when there doesn't seem to be any hope for the future, the Spirit is praying for us, and especially at the times when we're not able to pray. When things fall apart, when the wheels fall off, when life seems to be so broken and the like, there's two ways that oftentimes we'll react. One of them is fight, and the other one is flight. You've heard that before. The Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in both of those, and God's word speaks to us about times of weakness and times of despair and times of hopelessness and what it is and how it is that God will help us out. And he does that as Jesus teaches us parables. He does that as Jesus gives to us his word. Again, tonight, gospel reading. Jesus told them another parable. Now, last week, if you were with us, you heard the parable of the soils. There were the soils, the path and the rocky ground and the thorns and so on. Jesus follows up that, and notice, last week was Matthew 13, 1 through 23. Tonight, we continue on. So Jesus tells another parable, but this one about a farmer. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. Everything was starting out great, kind of like that limerick. It started off great. He sowed his seed in the field. But while everybody was sleeping, when nobody was looking, an enemy came. An enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat. The farmer didn't know that. But as soon as it started coming up, then the workers discovered that. And the workers discovered, hey, let's fight this. Let's go out and let's pull up the weeds. Let's go out and they ask the owner, can we go out and can we pull up those weeds? Well, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to do that in my lawn. I'm trying to get the weeds all out of my lawn and trying to get rid of them. It doesn't work. The owner says, no, don't pull up the weeds. Let the weeds and the wheat grow together until harvest. And then at harvest time, God will be the one to decide. God will be the one who chooses and knows what the wheat is and what the weeds are. How important that is. And how important it is for us in a very practical way. The weeds that were probably talked about there were called tares or darnel. It was very similar to wheat. As it was growing up and as it started to grow, it looked very much like wheat. Well, what could happen if someone was out there trying to pull up the weeds? They could also possibly pull up the wheat as well. So God in his grace says to us, children of God, sons and daughters, your job isn't to pull weeds. Your job isn't to weed out people. Your job is to grow. Your job, my job, our job is to grow up together amongst the weeds, even with the weeds, to grow up together, and then God will decide at the time of harvest what it is as far as weeds and wheat. Boy, there's a lot of examples in Scripture that help us to understand this, that our job is not to judge others or to try and get rid of them or pull them up and so on. Do you remember the one time when Jesus came to the Samaritan village? He was heading to Jerusalem, and the Samaritans didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And do you remember these two sons of thunder, James and John, the two brothers? They said, hey, Jesus, you want us to call down fire from heaven and burn them up? See, they wanted to get rid of the weeds, didn't they? And Jesus says, no, 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 no. We'll go to another village. How interesting it is that after the resurrection, God sends Philip back to those same Samaritans, and many of them believed. God had in mind not to get rid of those Samaritans, not to get rid of those, but to make them fruitful. And the Samaritans then did believe and grow. How important this is as we hear many stories. What if God would have pulled out Abraham when he sinned with Hagar and had Ishmael? What if God would have pulled up Abraham and destroyed him when he sinned twice, saying Sarah was his sister? What about Jacob? What would have happened if God would have, when Jacob tricked his dad and tricked Esau into getting that inheritance that was his, what if God would have said, that's it, no more Jacob? What if God would have done the same to Judah? Judah's the one who sold Joseph. Judah's the one who said, hey, the Ishmaelites are coming. Let's get some money out of this, out of little brother Joseph. And it was Judah who was the one who did that. What if God would have destroyed Gideon or Samson or David? Or think of all the people in the Scriptures that God said, no, I'm not going to destroy them. I'm not going to pull up the weeds there. I'm going to work in them, through them, and help them to grow. God's desire is that we grow in the faith. God's desire is not that we try and uproot others, but that we grow alongside with them and help them to grow as well. God's desire is that we continue to bear fruit. Our job is to bear fruit and not to try and judge other people. He says, "Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Don't go along with the weeds of this world, but be different, be wheat, and bear fruit, and show that as God continues to work in that way." So fight, God says, no, that's not how you deal with the other side. That's not how you deal with unbelievers or the weeds in society. I don't want you destroying or taking out those kinds of things. Instead, what I want you to do is I want you to grow. The other one is flight. The other one is when things are going bad and so on, you run away or you withdraw or you don't do anything at all, the flight kind of a reaction. But God's word says to us, no, don't want you to flee away, especially not from God. In fact, Romans, as Paul is writing to us about the Lord, the Holy Spirit helping us in our weaknesses, it says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. After we let both grow together, then he says, the Spirit intercedes for us. I've been there, have you? Things have been so tough, so difficult, that you can't even pray, that you don't even know the words to say, that you just are so confused about things and the like. How comforting it is to know the Holy Spirit's praying for us. The Holy Spirit that comes and loves us and cares for us and knows what's best for us and promises that throughout all of this time that God will and does work good. You remember the time that the Apostle Paul, he had that thorn in the flesh, and that thorn in the flesh, and he prayed three times, Lord, take it away from me, take it away from me. The Apostle Paul, he was at his wit's end. He thought the other side was winning. But you remember what God said to the Apostle Paul? No, I'm not going to take that away from you. Instead, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. That God works in the midst of weaknesses to show us his strength. He works in the midst of where we think the other side is winning or when we think that there's no more hope anymore, and his grace comes and fills us and fills our lives with that great gift. Yes, the devil would love to come and take away the joy of salvation, take away the gift of faith, take away the hope and the assurance that we have. The devil will work in all kinds of different ways, all kinds of sins and temptations and so on that are in our lives, whether it's personal struggles that we have, whether it's loving a loved one that is battling cancer or other kind of a disease or whatever it is, whether it's job loss, whether it's financial, so many different things where it seems like maybe the other side is winning. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. And God gives to us his rich gifts of grace through our Savior Jesus. And so let's change the limerick. Let's have the limerick change. And let's have God's plan had a hopeful beginning. His great love did not stop with our sinning. Though evil seems strong and our battle is long, in Christ Jesus and his cross, we are winning. That's our salvation, Jesus Christ and his cross. May the Holy Spirit continue to comfort and strengthen us, especially when it seems like the other side is winning. Help us to know that Jesus gives us the victory in his precious name. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all our understanding always keep our hearts and our minds centered in Jesus Christ. the one who gives us the victory unto life everlasting. Amen.